Far be it from Chris Morales to overdo a bit.
Why do you go after Jorge so often, John?
I think others may hear that and say, why does Jorge keep making the same mistakes?
Jorge, response.
Football is life.
Football is life.
So, what's going on, people? It is a crazy week because so much is going down at exactly the same time. We've never had the NBA free agency open at the same time that the baseball deadline, trade deadline, happens. But the trade deadline is officially on Friday in Major League Baseball. And, of course, the draft for the NBA is now tomorrow night. And then free agency opens on Monday. Unleash the gates, John. It's all going to happen in the next few days.
It could all happen in the next few hours.
John, I wanted to bring this up before we get to, you know, like hardcore meat, potatoes, that sort of stuff. So it's National Singing Telegram Day.
Now, come on. There's really a day for that?
Yep. There's a day for National Singing Telegrams. So I've got an idea.
I'd be great at this.
Okay.
I could make up singing telegrams on the spot.
Let's find out. So here's what I think we should do. If you know somebody in your life who's having a birthday, or maybe you're having an anniversary, we actually have an example of this. This is James Corden with Neil Patrick Harris, who I think will do it probably better than you, but here that is.
Cincha, Steve, you have been married for 19 years. Incredible.
Yep.
And I'm James.
And I'm Neil.
And this is your singing telegram.
Back in 99,
and you are still together.
Today's the day to celebrate. You know what we mean. Anniversary.
It's your
anniversary. 19th anniversary. Let me bounce against the ropes.
Yes, against the ropes.
I just bounced against the ropes. Anniversary, it's your anniversary, 19th anniversary.
Your logo looks like Superman.
Superman,
logo looks like Superman.
It's your anniversary.
Now, there's an example of a singing telegram. Now, you said, oh, I would be great at this. I could absolutely do this. I'm a superstar. I'm a singing telegram.
Yeah, well, you can't sing, so, you know, I'm going to have to carry you.
How many places do I have to sing the national anthem before you acknowledge that I can sing?
You're a one-trick pony.
One-trick pony my ass.
Yeah. But every time
just ask Mommy High School and my performance as Henry Higgins and My Fair Lady.
Jorge, every time we've had a singing competition, who wins?
You do it, John. I know.
Well, how often do we have a singing competition?
Not very often. I could make stuff up on the spot. You want me to make up a song about you?
No. I think we should.
Yeah. Yes.
No, don't make up a song.
Make up a song about you?
Sure.
Well, aren't we going to do the singing telegram bit? Aren't we going to wish somebody a happy birthday or a happy anniversary?
Sure,
that's what I think we should do.
Sure, why not?
So if somebody in your life is having a birthday or an anniversary, we won't do this till the 3 o'clock hour because we'll have to think something up. John says he's the greatest singing telegram author and performer of all time. So call right now, 877-710-ESPN. We'll get all the information in advance. Give us a few notes about the person, and John's going to turn it into a song. There you have it.
Okay. So wait a minute. I need one. All right. I got it.
Oh,
I got a song about you. It's ready.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go. I'm winging this, so it might not be perfect.
Yeah, okay.
Here we go. Steve Mason is really Steve Mashonsky, and he's obsessed with Instagram. He wants to be on TikTok. He's the opposite of a jock, and he's addicted to Puriesca, but he won't admit that he can't quit. He treats dogs like people and people like dogs, but that's okay. He'll just say he's stoned.
Oh, God. That was good on the spot.
That was good, especially on the spot.
Too good. Too good, actually. So if you need somebody, if you need a singing telegram, 877-710-ESPN, and Jesse will sort through those. So, John, Dodgers lose again to the Giants last night, 2-1, and they win.
Painful.
Eighth inning, Cody Bellinger throwing error in a 1-1 game. And I don't know what's going on with this team. I don't know what is going on with the Dodgers. And as you pointed out in your email to me today, they lead the league in unearned runs. Unearned runs, meaning they're committing errors and making stupid mistakes.
Well, let's call this what it is, because the other station can't. The Dodgers have become, you know, what a fat cat is? Somebody that wins so much they get used to it?
Yes.
Dave Roberts has always said you need to do the little things to win games. The Giants are the team that does the little things.
They are.
The Dodgers do the opposite of the little things. They keep getting in their own way.
Yeah.
For example, last night there was a ground ball in the top of the eighth to first base. The Giants threw it home and cut the run off at the plate.
Yep.
So there's a ground ball in the bottom of the eighth, and Bellinger throws it, and I'm not exaggerating, 30 feet over the head of Justin Turner.
He was trying to make a clever play. He was trying to deke the runner at third base to be able to throw him out, but made the throw just sailed.
Right. And Cody's a good defensive player. He's a really good center fielder. That was the first game he's played at first base all year. They've kind of been forced by the injuries. And like I said earlier in the week, the amazing thing about the Dodgers is that they're this good, that they've won 60 games with all these injuries. But you can't do what they did last night and give games away. I mean, that was a giveaway. If Bellinger just holds on to the ball, maybe they get out of it.
Yeah, maybe they get
maybe
out of it.
Maybe Trinan gets out of the inning.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
I think that when you win 8 division titles in a row or 7 division titles in a row, you just think that it's easy, and the Giants haven't been in the playoffs in 10 years, and they're hungrier.
Do you think that the positionality of the Dodgers played a role in last night? You mentioned Cody Bellinger played his first game at first base. He won a gold glove, if I'm not mistaken, for playing center field last year, and you stick him at first base randomly in the middle of July. Doesn't that put him in a bad situation?
Well, I don't know what else you would like them to do. They have so many injuries that if you want to put Bellinger's bat in the lineup and he needs to snap out of whatever's going on with him offensively. He had another hit last night, but it was only one. And, well,
there's plenty. By the way, they're playing Billy McKinney.
Right.
And
so
Luke Raley.
I mean, how many of those guys do you want to play? I mean, it for example, and I'll tell you something else that contributed to that. Did you watch the postgame show on Sportsnet LA?
I didn't watch the postgame.
Okay. So they made it, Jerry Hairston and Nomar made it very clear that Max Muncy, who's primarily been playing first base this year, after he threw the ball to Bellinger, he walked right in front of him when he was trying to throw it to third.
I mean, so he had
right
to throw the ball high.
In front. Had he thrown the ball on a line, like the line he was on, it would have hit Muncy in the head. So I you know, Cody didn't bring it up after the game, but Nomar did a good job of explaining on TV what, you know, he was. If you go back and watch that play again, you'll see that Muncy throws it to Bellinger to get the first out. And there's two things you'll notice. Number one, he could have made an easy play and gone to second base to try and get the second out. He elected instead to go to third, or he could have just held the ball. But Muncy keeps running. He throws it to Bellinger, and he keeps running. And so picture an imaginary line between Bellinger and Justin Turner, and Muncy's right in that line. And so when Bellinger tries to make that play, he has to throw it at least a little bit high to avoid hitting Muncy in the head. And that's an example of one of these little things that, you know, the Dodgers haven't been doing this year. Now, Mace, having said all that, if they get Betts back, and they get Kershaw back, and they make a trade or two, which I think they're going to do.
Yeah.
I'd still take the Dodgers.
Yeah, I mean, I like the Dodgers. Here's what I hate. I hate the fact. First of all, my hate for the Giants was reignited last night. Because I've been saying all along, you know, the Giants are going to fade. The Giants aren't for real. You know, Farinzaghi's done a nice job propping things up. Guys are having a career years. Guys are coming out of nowhere in the pitching rotation. Nowhere out of the bullpen. And I all of a sudden last night decided and I've been teasing the Padres all year long. I hate the Giants now. I absolutely hate them. And I should have been hating them before now.
Well, I think any of those three teams can win the division. I think it's an arms race.
And the problem is, John, I do not want to be in the wild card game.
Well, think about this. The Dodgers and Giants have played 14 games.
Yeah.
It's 7-7, but the Giants have won 7 of the last 9.
Yeah.
They seem to have the Dodgers' number. But I'm telling you, it's not too late. If they get these guys back from injury, but Bellinger's got to snap out of whatever he's doing offensively. Bill Plunkett wrote a big story on that came out on Monday.
Yeah.
That he's doing, he looks nothing like the guy who won Rookie of the Year or the guy that won MVP in 2019. I mean, he looks nothing like Betts. It's weird that he's on the injured list with that hip. Normally a hip is not something that heals if you take 10 days off.
Right.
A hip is something you have to either take months off or have some type of procedure. So it may have all the winning they've done, the 8 straight division titles, the 3 trips to the World Series in the last 5 years, they now may be paying a price for it with their injuries. But if they were able to get half of these guys back, if Bellinger would even... Okay, he's hitting like 150.
Yeah, just
if
terrible.
He could hit two, I forget his MVP year. If he could hit 250, it would make a huge difference. If
he hasn't really been. He's not been right since his MVP year.
Right. If and Mace, if you go, and this is in Plunkett's article, if you examine his MVP year,
yep.
He really won that MVP in the first 4 months of the season. He trailed off terribly in August and September and was bad in the postseason. So he's been bad since the All-Star break of 2019, even though he won the MVP that year. So he Betts is one of the top 3 players in baseball. He's that good. He hasn't played like that this year. He's been like, you know, a big term in baseball is WAR, wins above replacement.
Yeah, right.
Mookie Betts has been average
below.
This year.
Below, you know, average.
He's been like, he hasn't been Mookie Betts, and I'm assuming it's because of the hip. But so think about this. If you get half of Bellinger back, half of Betts back, Kershaw comes back, you trade for a starter, because I'm not counting on Trevor Bauer and Dustin May is already
Trevor
out.
Bauer's gone. Dustin May is gone for the year.
So, you know, let's say you get you get Scherzer or Berrios or somebody to help shore up the pitching staff, and you get half of those guys back. Corey Seager, who was our best player in the postseason last year, has given you nothing.
Yeah, World Series MVP.
All right, so there's 3 guys I've mentioned who are arguably the 3 best guys on our team offensively. Seager, Bellinger, Betts. Nothing out of all 3 of them. And having said that, they've won 60 of their first 100 games.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're somehow, I don't know how they're staying
in it. They've been sort of glue and tape and held together, right. Somehow
and they deserve
gotten to
be
this
ripped
point.
For that stupid way they lost last night, but the cause is not lost. Like, even this series, they could win tonight. Walker
sure.
Buehler's birthday today, and he's pitching on his birthday.
Yeah,
he's their best pitcher right now. I think
yes,
if you made me bet this game tonight, I'd bet on the Dodgers.
Yeah, given his history in Game 7s, I mean, he knows how to pitch. In a key situation, and that's
somehow
tonight.
They need some luck, and they need to get some of these injuries healed. But somehow they're staying in it. But to quote Dave Roberts, the little things is what make a difference when you're in a really close race, and they're not doing the little things.
A couple of rumors from John Paul Morosi. These are in the last couple of hours, anyway. Sources: Max Scherzer trade talks have continued to intensify, and those close to the conversation believe a deal could be reached by late tonight. Giants, Dodgers, Padres are the top suitors. Giants, Dodgers, Padres are the top suitors.
And by the way, Vegas still favors the Dodgers to win the whole thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't know how, but
they also favor the Dodgers to get Max Scherzer. No, actually, the Mets are favored. The Dodgers are the second pick.
Well, Buster
for Max
thinks
Scherzer
they're getting Kimbrel. Buster
he
only thinks
they're getting
Kimbrel. Craig Kimbrel.
Here's another interesting nugget. Dodgers have spoken with the Cubs about multiple players. And closer Craig Kimbrel is among them. Who else are they talking about?
All right, so think
Could
about
they
this.
Be talking about Chris Bryant?
No, I think, and this would be pretty radical, but I think they might be talking about Javi Baez because Scott Boras represents Corey Seager, and he's going to be really hard to sign. So if they could get Baez, one of those guys would move to second for this year, and then at the end of the year, you make a choice moving forward. Do you
Here's
want to sign
think
Seager, or do you
about.
Want to talk Baez?
I think they're talking about Kyle Hendricks from their starting rotation, who's 12-4 right now and has had a pretty good year. Not a great year. He's got a 3.85 ERA, but he is 12-4.
But I think that could be the guy they're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. So there are a number of options there, but multiple players maybe with the Cubs. All right, coming up next for you, the Simone Biles thing sort of wrapped up when she dropped out of the individual competition. So she dropped out of the team competition, now the individual competition because of mental health issues. We'll get to that coming up next. Mesa and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
God, you know, tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I am sitting here trying to write a song about you, and I cannot do it.
Yeah,
you're using Frère Jacques as your.
But
background.
I mean, you can write a song to an original song.
Twinkle, twinkle, little John.
You could do. Jorge, it's your birthday. You use the swag system, and your foot is fat. Jorge, it's your birthday. You cheat at Game of Games and you love micheladas. Jorge. I mean, you can do anything.
Bravo.
Yeah. That's just right off the top of his peanut head. That's unbelievable.
I'm telling you, I have more useless skills than anyone you know.
Boy, this one comes in handy on this show. Comes in handy.
But it you can't monetize it. You can't start a singing telegram business and get rich.
Oh, by the way, if you are, if you want a singing telegram for your best friend or your husband or your wife, or you want to send an anniversary message, John will write a song and sing it. 877-710-ESPN.
I think that's what makes it a hit is if it's a duet.
Oh, a duet.
Kind of like Diana Ross, Lionel Richie, Endless Love.
Oh, nice. Okay,
or
we could even use
Rogers,
Endless Love.
Dolly Parton, Islands in the Stream. Remember
or what about Neil Diamond, Barbara Streisand, You Don't Bring Me Flowers.
Right, little known fact about Neil Diamond and Barbara Streisand. More useless information from John Ireland. Went to elementary school together in Brooklyn.
Get out of here.
We're in the same class.
Oh, that's crazy.
Isn't that weird?
That's crazy. Just right off the top of his peanut head.
Yeah, I can do it. There's a lot of useless knowledge in that peanut head.
So Dodgers lose last night. We were talking about what's a little wrong with them. So yesterday there was a lot of criticism of Simone Biles, and this is across the country. People said, oh, Simone Biles, she's soft and she can't perform under the bright lights or whatever the hell they're saying. And she took a step back because of mental health issues during the team competition.
She did it again today.
Now she's not participating at all in the Olympics. She's out of the individual.
No, not true, Mace. She just dropped out of the individual. She could still go to the apparatus events if she wants to. She has not announced. The overall individual, she's out. That's the one where you do all the different events and get
there's
a medal
on the line. Oh, so she can't win overall.
Correct.
But she could win an
individual. She has not dropped
apparatus.
Out of vault, floor, uneven parallel bars, that kind of stuff.
Got it.
She still could. But as of now, she's just dropped out of two things.
I wonder if that changes
the overall.
I wonder if that changes people's opinions.
I don't think so.
She dropped out of her
And by
own
the way, I'm glad you brought this up. I try really hard because I know that we now live in a completely polarized country.
Yes.
That if I have one opinion about an issue, it either has to be right or wrong.
Black,
that,
white, up, down.
Yeah. By the way, I'd like to steal a page from Bill Maher. You know, Bill Maher was pointing out that 66 million people voted for Trump. All right, 66 million. And you can be mad at them because they did it, but if you hate them and you won't work with them, we're not getting anywhere.
Right.
And so here's my thought on Simone Biles. You and I actually both feel that she should not be criticized for this.
Correct.
And the more I've had to think about it and marinate on it, the stronger I feel that she shouldn't be criticized for it. But the other side is just as entrenched as we are. For example, I saw Pau Gasol tweeted support for Simone Biles. And someone I followed went, after Pau tweeted that, followed it up with a soft Euro and a quitter. They belong together.
That's brutal.
Okay, it's brutal, but how? Like you said, we got the strongest reaction from anything we did on the show yesterday was Simone Biles.
Yes.
For whatever reason, this is an issue because it involves teamwork and sports and is mental health something.
And by the way, includes all sports. Chris Bryant tweeted about it today, supporting Simone Biles, and Kyrie Irving has had times when he's taken a day away. So I think it's an important issue. I wanted to,
but let me get this last thing out. So I got a tweet yesterday from a woman named Lori, African American woman, listens to our show every day.
Okay.
Hope
Hi,
she's
Lori.
Listening now, Lori. Thank you for listening. And she tweeted me a link to an article that was in Yahoo that kind of put this whole thing into a different perspective.
Okay.
Not one time yesterday did you and I, or did I hear anyone else, bring up that Simone Biles was involved in that sexual
yes,
abuse
she was.
Larry Nassar
yep.
thing. So let's add this up. Okay. She's 24 years old. She's the face of
the whole
U.S.
Olympic
team.
Yeah.
She's African-American. So she's a black woman. All right. Which Lori pointed out to me. So her whole life, she's had a spotlight on her. She tragically gets into this abuse thing, which I still think we don't spend enough time talking about, that this creep abused all these girls.
Yeah, right, right.
And then so she's not right, and she decides to drop out of the thing yesterday, of the team competition. Mace, she's not a basketball player. This isn't Kevin Love.
Right.
If she's not focused and she goes into the air on a vault, she could crack her head open.
Of course.
I mean,
this is dangerous stuff.
This might be the most dangerous sport we talk about. I mean, boxing might be in this world, but at least in boxing, you're not doing seven flips while you're in the air trying to grab onto
right.
parallel bars.
And I mean, seriously, balance beam and, I mean, all this, the vaults, these
right.
are,
okay.
she's up in the air spinning and twisting and turning and all that stuff.
So none of us know what it's like to be her. She grew up a minority athlete, got abused, has the whole world on her shoulders.
Yep.
Add the pandemic, add that she had to train for an extra year, which is something you talk about, how athletes zero in on a timeline, and then this timeline got blown up by COVID, and now they had to stretch it out a year.
Yep.
Is it that big of a surprise that she's struggling mentally? It isn't to me.
And it's not to me either.
And Mace, if she is, like if we accept that premise, I don't want a girl up in the air 35, 40 feet on a vault doing flips.
If she doesn't feel
if
right.
If she's not focused.
Yeah, yeah.
I just think that criticizing her is not taking all of that into account.
Did you see Michael Phelps talk about this last night?
I heard about it. I did not
He was unbelievable. He was with Mike Tirico. And, of course, Michael Phelps has got a mental health foundation that he runs now, the Michael Phelps Foundation.
Most
so he's very active.
Successful Olympian of all
issue.
Time, by the way.
Oh, no question. More medals than
medals.
Anybody. Yeah. So here he is on Simone Biles. And by the way, I think a star is born. I think Michael Phelps is so good.
And who knew?
Here is he is on Simone Biles withdrawing.
The Olympics is overwhelming. There's a lot of emotions that go into it. There's a lot of I could talk to you about this for an hour.
Yeah.
I mean, the easiest way for me to say it is I think athletes and Olympic athletes in general, I mean, talking about weight of gold, we need someone who we can trust. Mm-hmm. Somebody that can let us be ourselves and listen, mm-hmm. Allow us to become vulnerable. Somebody who's not going to try and fix us. You know, we carry a lot of things, a lot of weight on our shoulders. And it's challenging, especially when we have the lights on us and all of these expectations that are being thrown on top of us. So it broke my heart.
Yeah.
But also, if you look at it, mental health over the last 18 months is something that people are talking about.
Absolutely talking
and
about.
And that's coming from the most successful Olympian ever. No one's ever talking about Michael Phelps being soft or not having mental issues, and it's clear he did.
Here's what people come back to me with. Yeah, but Michael Phelps never bowed out of the 4x100 freestyle.
Right, but that's Michael Phelps. You've talked many times on this show that you take mental health days. I've never taken a mental health day. But if you need one, I'm not on you about taking it. I think that that's kind of where we all need to go here. Just because you don't have mental issues doesn't mean Simone Biles couldn't.
Yeah.
And this venom that is being directed at her. And I talked yesterday, you know, you said you think that this will be over and forgotten in 10 months.
Well, now I think it'll be remembered for the positive.
That's where I was going.
Yeah.
And I said, nope, this is going to be like Roberto Duran. This is going to follow her and it's going to be in her legacy. I'm no longer so sure that this being in her legacy isn't going to put her on the right side of history.
I completely agree. But again, here's a tweet. What if LeBron James needed a mental health day during the NBA Finals?
Well, it would, again, I think it would be part of his legacy, but would it necessarily, down the road, years from now, be looked at as a weakness? I think Simone Biles is going to be praised for this eventually, not now. I know half the country is calling her a quitter, and half the country doesn't understand it, and half the country doesn't understand why she gave up on her team. To me, none of that matters. It's somebody who had the guts to say, yeah, you know what, my head's not right, and I don't really feel like being 35 feet in the air on a vault if my head's not right.
Yeah. Let's sneak in a couple of calls on this. 877-710-ESPN. Yesterday we talked about this. She had withdrawn from the team competition. A lot of people felt she was letting down her team. Now she's dropped out of the all-around individual gymnastics competition because of a mental health issue, because of her struggles. How does that change your view? 877-710-ESPN. Also got the Wheel of Questions coming up next for you. Mason, Ireland, 710-ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
You know, it's just the big thing to do if you're a celebrity is to start a liquor or a wine. In fact, I think Michael Thompson and Clay are starting one.
Let's start one.
I just came across Snoop Dogg has created 19 Crimes Rosé. 19 Crimes Rosé. And I bet you it is selling like crazy. It's an interesting name, 19 Crimes Rosé.
Okay, so phones are open, 877-710-ESPN, as the country. The Simone Biles thing continues to be the biggest story that's out there. Here is a couple of tweets that are opposite of us from Diego. I think people are upset because she's calling herself the GOAT as far as placing it on her outfit. I think people get upset when you're proclaiming how great you are and then say you're not mentally there, like Paul George. Does he have a point?
She did put herself out there, didn't she?
Well, Playoff P started calling Playoff P, and then
And it's pointed
terrible.
Out here by the Tonio, if she gives back the sponsorship money, we good. She keeps it, then she grifted well. You know, I think that putting GOAT on her, she is great. Even now, she's the greatest of all time. Even after this, if you talk to an actual gymnast, they will say she's doing stuff that we couldn't even have imagined. So I don't even think this eliminates her GOAT status. If you ask who'd I work with, Mary Lou Retton, Peter Vidmar 4 years ago in Rio, they're like, turn out the lights. This girl's the best there ever was, and nobody's ever going to top her.
All right, here's another one from Scott. It's also that she took a spot from some other girl who worked her whole life for the opportunity. Didn't she do the opposite yesterday?
Yeah, no, she
stepped down to let someone else take her place because she knew she wasn't right.
Yeah, the alternate got to do it. So she got to participate in the team competition and in the all-around competition. All right, before we get to your calls, time to spin the wheel of questions. I never know what is going to come up on the wheel. Jesse's here in for Lindsay, and, of course, Jorge's here. Football is life. Let's spin the wheel, Jorge. This is a little bleak, actually, but I'll do it. You're at the bank when a robbery is taking place.
Ooh.
Everybody is on the ground, and the robbers have guns. They're threatening to shoot people until authorities meet their demands. Are you the hero, or do you just lay there and wait?
Well, what would define the hero? Do you speak up?
You try to stop the guy.
Well, what
you try to be the hero. You try to get the guns.
He's the one with the gun.
Right. You sacrifice yourself for everybody else. Do you cook up a plan? Do you go after the guy? Or do you just lay there like a sheep?
Normally, Lisa one time got robbed at gunpoint before I knew her.
Wow.
When she was young, and she fought back.
Yikes.
Which I thought was really stupid.
Yeah, that is stupid.
The guy stole her purse. She's on Sunset Boulevard. And the guy stole her purse, and he had a gun, and he ran off, and she ran after him. And I'm like, it's a purse.
Right.
So I don't necessarily think that your definition of a hero is the correct one. Sometimes the smartest thing to do is to let the situation play out. It's not worth losing your life. If you're not in the line of fire, all right?
Right. And you won't be. You're laying on the ground.
I think that's your best way. Now, what changes everything is if he shoots somebody.
Okay, let's say that happens.
Then you got to get into it.
You got to go.
Then you're like those guys on the 9/11 planes. As soon as those guys on United 93 found out that two or three other planes had gone down and they were next, they handled that great.
Right, right.
They basically said, all right, look, they've crashed two planes into the World Trade Center. Ours is obviously going for something. It turns out they were going for the White House or the Capitol building.
Sure.
Something like that. He said, we can't go down without a fight. And that was all those heroes on that plane that basically gave up their own lives to take it down. But until the robber, in your scenario, inflicts harm on someone, maybe the smartest thing to do is lay low.
Well, I'll tell you what. I have always thought. Actually, Jorge, what do you think?
I would lay there, man. Because, look, eventually,
really?
At the end of the day, these robbers get caught anyway. So, like, I mean, what's the point of fighting
it off? Mage, you would act even if they haven't shot anybody yet?
No, if they shot somebody, I would act. I've always thought in a situation like that, because I don't have any kids, because I've lived a really good life, I really have had fun, I got to do a bunch of really cool stuff, I would probably go for it at some point. I would not be afraid to go for it if it meant saving a whole bunch of people. That's what I've always thought. Jesse,
well,
what about you?
Hopefully you never
Yeah, of
find
course,
out.
Never yeah. in that situation.
Yeah,
Jesse.
I'm kind of with Jorge. I lay back, you know. If the shooting starts too, I'm kind of the opposite. I feel like it kind of incite more if you try to like bull rush a person.
But you have to, Jesse, at that point, if he starts shooting people, if the four of us are on a plane and or in a bank and this guy starts shooting people, he can't stop all four of us.
Well, yeah. Well, is it like, you know, it's weird kind of going into this, but if it's kind of something where he just starts unloading, then 100% yes, because at that point you just don't have a choice.
Yeah,
there's
you
no
got no
reason
choice
to go.
Exactly.
But if
exactly.
he's like taking hostages and stuff like that, then I think we kind of wind up in a different situation.
Right.
But
by the way, the best thing in some of those scenarios is have one person create a distraction.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
And then have the other people make a run for him.
Yeah, like
I go for his legs, you go for his head, and
hey,
Jesse, you just
I'll
stand in the corner
leg.
And start cussing him out and yelling and making a scene.
There you
and,
go. I'll start running.
So
and,
you'll get shot, but Mason yeah. and I will then take him out.
I'll just hope that, you know, it chips me like in the arm or in the leg or something. Somewhere
yeah,
where
yeah.
I just, you know, I'll be hurt or
a
limping for a couple
hate.
Days.
Hey, exactly. Jesse, is that guy Brian on line 2?
Hang on real
Oxnard?
Quick. Fast track or Wheel of Questions brought to you by Puente Hills Toyota. If you got a car that's just sitting around, not being used, bring it to Puente Hills Toyota today for an instant cash offer. Puente Hills Toyota is the house of yes.
Jesse, is that guy Brian in Oxnard still on the phone?
He is.
Hey, Brian, you're on 710 ESPN. You want to talk about the Simone Biles thing, right?
Yes, sir, I do. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, sure, man.
So, obviously, I'm aware that she's went through some nasty stuff in the past, but I think it was a team doctor thing. So a
yes.
Trainer doctor,
right.
I can't remember who it was, but it was her and a handful of others
yeah,
over the
he
decade.
Sexually, that guy, Larry Nassar, sexually abused over 100 girls.
Totally. And I do not condone that whatsoever at all. I'm not cool with that. I'm glad he's in jail, which I believe he is, from my understanding.
He is.
But with all that being said, I feel like she should at least put some kind of effort to still kind of go out there. Obviously, I don't know what goes on in her head. I haven't went through anything as horrific as that goes like that. But I just, for me, from my understanding, I just feel like over time, society and things have kind of softened up a little bit in some sort of way. Like, there was her situation with this. And then she's self-proclaimed as a GOAT. She has that written down in her outfit that she's going out there with and doing that, adding more pressure to and more fuel to the fire for doing that, which you really expect her just to kind of like toughen up, I guess, and go out there and just do what she has to do. It's part of the profession. It's part of the game. And I just feel like if she can't handle the pressure and she feels like it's too much to handle, maybe she shouldn't have went to the Olympics.
Okay, so Brian, let me follow up with a question for you. Do you believe physical health and mental health are on the same level?
I feel they're on the same level. No, I'm not saying that whatsoever at all. But there was also a situation with Naomi Osaka, too, when she lost in a tournament. She refused to, I believe it was, take an interview, and she used mental health as an excuse not to deal with that. I remember I heard you guys talking about that weeks ago when that had happened.
So my thing is, I kind of want to
see what you guys think on this. So is this going to be a thing where people can kind of obviously the Simone Biles thing is a lot more gruesome than what Naomi Osaka went through, because she actually was abused in that kind of way. So I understand that 100%. But going forward, I can just, the way I'm looking at it now, I can just see this be an excuse for athletes to be babies about it and kind of use the mental health card as an excuse to not have to face the music.
Have you ever taken a mental health day, Brian?
I have not had to do that. I suffer with pretty severe anxiety on the daily, which I really do deal with that. And it's pretty bad, but just how I was raised and how I grew up, it's like, man the hell up, you deal with it, and go on and just deal with it, kind of. And I know everyone's strength is a little different. I'm not saying I'm a freaking macho, huge, tough guy, anything whatsoever like that. But
me too,
I didn't feel like
way.
She should have, like,
macho, tough guy.
Yeah. Although, Mace, you said, Brian, you made a lot of points there. I disagree with you for one reason. Mason, you said yesterday that if we had the biggest day of the year, if we had Game 7 of the Lakers and you desperately needed a mental health day, you would find a way to power through it.
I would power through, yes.
Okay. The difference is you find a way to power through it, and even if you're not at your best, the worst thing that happens is that we do a bad show.
Right.
If she, Simone Biles, Brian, powers through it or mans up, as you said, and has a bad day, she's a gymnast. She'd crack her head open. Michael Phelps said it last night. If he isn't focused, he loses a swim race.
Right, right.
If Simone Biles isn't focused, she drops. She's
potentially injured.
Yeah,
badly.
And so I that's where you lose me. I just think that it's too risky for her to compete if she's not straight. Does that make sense?
Does to me.
Now, would it be possible? Would it be possible to make one more point?
Of course it's possible to make one more point.
I was debating with some buddies on Instagram yesterday on my stories and doing things of that sort. I kind of brought it up this way, and obviously we don't know what Kobe goes through with Tom Brady and these Joe Montana athletes like that, what they went through in their heyday and their prime. But I read a quote that she had said on Instagram that I saw, I think it was Bleacher Report, someone put it, saying that she felt too stressed out. It wasn't fun anymore. Now, what would happen if Joe Montana was on his game-winning drive against the Cincinnati Bengals, if he told Coach Bill Walsh, you know what, man, this is too much stress for me. I can't handle this. I think I'm going to sail this last drive. Mentally, it's just too excruciating for me. Like, is it going to get to that point going forward with athletes where
maybe
pressure, it's going to be okay to sit out because it's too much pressure? Like,
I don't,
like,
well,
that's kind
Brian,
of what
I don't think
for
Simone,
what it is.
I don't think Simone Biles is going to be the last person to say that she needs a day off for mental health. I think that's the way not just sports is going. I think that's the way society's going.
Yeah, yeah.
But, hey, Brian, that's a really thoughtful call. Thank you for calling
thank
in.
Yeah, thank you, Brian. Thank you. Yeah. All right, John,
I disagree with them.
Yeah, I totally disagree. I totally disagree. I want to shift gears here. There is a celebrity couple, John, who claims they do not bathe and they do not shower.
Come on.
I'm telling you.
Who do they think
real.
They are? Steve Mason?
That's coming up next for Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
I've been trying for 20 minutes to write a song about John Ireland. I still cannot do it. I'm getting closer, though. Getting closer. At some point this afternoon, I think, Jesse, have we heard from anybody legit who has a friend who's having a birthday or wife who's having a birthday or they're having an anniversary?
We got a couple. I got one anniversary and a couple birthdays, but they're not today.
Well, they don't have to be today.
Don't have to be today.
We do have a couple.
Okay,
then.
We'll pick one and do it on whatever day we need to do it.
Yeah.
All right, perfect. Well, keep calling in because I'm still taking submissions.
All right, 877-710-ESPN. So we come across this story. This is Mila Kunis and Ashton Kutcher, who are, you know, A-list celebrity couple.
And married.
And married. And they have two kids, Wyatt and Dimitri. And Mila Kunis says, "I am not the parent that bathed my newborns ever. If you can see dirt on them, clean them. Otherwise, there's no point." Kutcher says he doesn't take a shower or bathe. He says, he washes his armpits and crotch daily and nothing else ever, and has a tendency to throw some water on his face after a workout to get all the salts out. This is a couple who claims they do not bathe and they do not shower, and that includes their kids. They clean their kids when they're dirty, but they don't give them regular baths. Now, do you believe this?
I do. Only because, and I was shocked to learn this, that you say you'll sometimes go 2-3 days without taking a shower. That to me, I'm the opposite. I take 2-3 showers a day. Shower to me is a reset. It gets me kind of going. If I'm tired or, you know, if I got someplace to go or I want to go do something, I'll hop in the shower. But you have said on many occasions that you don't. So the fact that someone is like right of you on this doesn't shock me. What do you think?
I think it's really extreme. I mean, first of all, you're exaggerating a little bit. 2-3 days is not really. Sometimes I'll come to work without taking a shower when we go to the studio. And I call that a shore shower. Like, it's what you do when you're at the beach. You just clean enough, brush your hair, brush your teeth, and you're on.
I don't think
there's anything wrong with that for a day.
Can't do it.
Yeah, you are Mr. Shower Guy.
Yeah, I love him. I could shower everywhere. Shower at the gym, shower at home, shower at hotels, one of the first questions I ask when I go on the road is, how's the shower? Like, yes. how's the water pressure? What's the setup in there?
Yes.
You know, because I take a lot of showers. And if I get to a hotel where the shower in my room is lousy, I will walk down to the gym and check out the shower down there.
Right. Juan just texted from the other room. He says a shore shower officially includes a shot of peppermint schnapps if you don't have time to brush your teeth. So you're freshening your breaths with some peppermint schnapps.
I'm paranoid about bad breath. I brush my teeth with the Colgate that has the breath strips in it. And after I do that, and I'm kind of a serial toothbrush guy. I brush my teeth like 3 or 4 times a day. After I do that, I use mouthwash just as a double whammy.
Yeah, no, you're serious about it. I think you're...
I'm over hygiene.
This is your OCD.
Yep.
Have you ever been diagnosed as OCD?
No, but I know I have it.
You do have it. Yeah,
I don't have to be diagnosed.
Everything has to be the same thing every single day or you're off.
My wife laughs because if I'll go into a routine where I'll come home, I'll make a turkey sandwich, I'll toast it, I'll get some barbecued kettle chips and some grapes and an unsweet iced tea. And one time I did it 4 days in a row and didn't think twice about it. She goes, "Didn't you have that yesterday?" I go, "I've had it every day this week. Do you think that's weird that I would have the same lunch every day?"
I'll be honest, I'm not that different from you. I once ate a Reuben sandwich every day for 3 months. Every day for three. It was just part of my habit, my routine.
Remember Wade Boggs, the baseball player?
Fried chicken.
No, he ate some type of chicken every day for like 5 years. He couldn't go a day without eating like either fried chicken, grilled chicken, boiled chicken. He had to have some type of chicken every day.
Ooh, yeah, got a little Lakers rumor here, John.
Oh, what is it?
This is Ian Begley, who's totally legit.
Oh, yeah. I know Ian.
Ian Begley says the Lakers are among the teams interested in trading for Brooklyn's Landry Shamet ahead of the draft. Several teams have communicated with the Nets about possible trades, including the Lakers. Shamet is coming off a season where he shot 39% from three. The 24-year-old is a career 39.7, basically 40% career shooter beyond the arc. And the Lakers, 21st in three-point shooting and 29% in that series with Phoenix that they got eliminated in, definitely could use a shooter.
Steve, as you know,
you cannot talk about players on other teams.
By rule, to discuss players under contract to other teams. So let me make a random observation.
Okay.
I've always liked Landry Shamet. Liked him with the Clippers. Liked him in Philly. Like him in Brooklyn. Like him a lot. So I hope that that's not just, you know, as I mentioned earlier in the week, you're going to hear every name that is available get tied to the Lakers.
Yes.
That's the power of the Laker brand. You will hear at some point today that Magic Johnson is coming out of retirement to play for the Lakers. Shaq is coming back. And none of it, you know, the Lakers attract rumors like, you know, moss to a flame. But I hope that particular one has some legs because I really like that guy.
Yeah, no, he'd be really good. He'd be really good. That's what they need. They need a three-point shooter, good shooter. There's that talk about Buddy Hield. There's a little buzz about Joe Ingles from Utah today. I think that we potentially could see the Lakers move for a shooter at the draft or before the draft, and they've got the 21st pick. All right,
well, they're going to do something, Mace. I mean, Rob Plink has done something every year he's had the controls. So as long as Rob is running the show, that you're going to see some new faces on the Lakers for sure.
Speaking of the Lakers, Laker officials have some thoughts about the Lakers' title window. Sam Amick from The Athletic reported this. How long is the championship window open for these Lakers, given that LeBron is going to be in his age 37 season and AD has had injury issues? What is the championship window? Let's get into that coming up next for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.